Thank you. Thank you. May be seated. This time, Ms. Jennifer Carter going to bring our special.
When my children were little, you know, it took a long time for them to realize that, well, I guess they would ask the question, Mama, why do bad things happen to good people? And as a parent, it was hard at first to explain it. I had to pray about it a lot, you know, and tell them. But even in my own life, as I've grown and gotten older and in the Word more and more and more, you know, if it wasn't for those storms, if it wasn't for the bad things, as people look at it, to say, to happen to us, you know, I know beyond a shadow of doubt, we would not be as close to the Lord as some of us are. And, you know, no matter what you're going through, no matter what the day brings, if you're trusting in God and praying to Him, He's going to see you through it. It may take time, and it may take all kinds of things, but He will bring you through it, and you will be so much better for it. Y'all just listen to the words.
But somewhere past the clouds waits a new day to begin. Sometimes it takes a storm to calm your storm within. Sometimes it takes a storm. Disappear without a trace. Sometimes the wind will rage before you sail calm waters. Sometimes it takes a storm. Find a hiding place. They were drifting in the darkness. The sea was all around. They cried out to the Master, please save us or we'll drown. Jesus heard their cries and mercy stilled the wind. Sometimes it takes a storm to see the sun again. Sometimes it takes a trace. sometimes it takes a storm to find a hiding place. Sometimes the wind will rage before you sail calm waters. Lord, thank you for the storm.
Acts chapter 13 this morning. Boy, wasn't that good? I'm glad that the Lord is my hiding place. A lot of people hide their feelings and their emotions and their trials in a bottle. There's an end to that bottle. A lot of people hide their trials and they pour themselves into drugs. Well, there's an end to those drugs. But I'm glad there's no end to Jesus. And I'm glad He's a hiding place that can fulfill every longing. I'm glad that He can satisfy every desire that we have. He is the anchor this morning. And I'm telling you, the anchor holds. Y'all know what we got going in our country. God's people, we got to get to the anchor. We got to get to that hiding place. And as God's people, we've got to stand stronger than we've ever stood. And we got to get up and we've got to put our faith to action. Amen? This nation needs us. God's people, we need to be more faithful than we've ever been. We need to read our Bibles more than we've ever read them. We need to pray more than we've ever prayed. We need to go to church more than we've ever gone. We need to sing louder than we've ever sang. We need to stand. This country needs to hear us. They need to hear us, but most of all, they need to see our God. They need to see our Savior. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word this morning. Isn't it good to be in the Lord's house? Acts chapter 13 and verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law, the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, Ye men and brethren, if ye have any word of exhortation for the people, say on. Then Paul stood up, and beckoning with his hand, said, Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers, and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed 7 nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And after they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. When he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I know and I understand that you have raised unto us many kings. But Lord, there's not one like unto Jesus. He is the greatest King. He stands above all. And Lord, in the midst of the nation in that we live, We need to understand that Jesus has been exalted above all leaders, above all high places, and Lord, of all the kings and all the rulers that You've placed, there is none higher than Jesus Christ Himself. And Lord, I pray as Your people today that we will make Him the King of kings and the Lord of lords of our life. Lord, there's a lot that call Him Savior, but not everybody calls Him Lord. Lord, You want us to call You Lord today. May we allow You to be the Lord of our life. May we allow You to be the Lord of this church. Lord, may we allow You to be the Lord of this country. Lord, we need Your leadership today. We need You in the midst of trouble. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I want to talk to you about the exaltation of kings. The exaltation of kings. The act of exalting leaders above us. Now, we are in that time of year where y'all are sick and death of Tuesday. Tuesday's coming. We got two ladies that works in the clerk's office that's here today. They're sick and tired of this election mess. They're sick and tired of all of this that we're going through. And sick and tired of all of the ads and all of the commercials and all of the politics that's going on. But I want you to know that Tuesday's a very important day. And as a child of God, I get to exercise one of the greatest freedoms that I have as a Christian and as an American. And I get to go to the polls. And I get to go vote. And I get to go express my Christian belief. And I get to go impose my rights as a child of God and a citizen of the United States of America. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for, but I'm here to tell you to go vote. And I'm here to tell you when you get through voting, fall on your face and pray for this country. This country needs His people to stand up and exalt this country unto the Lord. But I want us to look at this scripture today as we have that in our minds and our hearts, the thought of this election, the thought of people ruling above us. And I want to look at kind of the process of the exaltation of kings. And this is something that was done in the Bible for many, many years. And as we look in our text this morning in the book of Acts chapter 13, the Apostle Paul is going around and he's preaching and he goes to Antioch and he goes to the synagogue, the Jewish synagogue there. And I want you to understand that he's talking to these Jews that are well aware, I'll get it out here in a minute, of kings and leaders. They are well aware of people over them and above them because they are oppressed at this time by the Roman government. They are oppressed by leadership. And in their opinion, leadership's not a good thing. And having governors and having leaders, they have a bad taste in their mouth about rulers and kings. And I believe we can all testify that today, that it's easy to have a bad taste in our mouth about rulers and about kings. And the Apostle Paul goes, and he tells in the Jewish synagogue, he begins to tell them the story about Jesus. And he tells of the life, if you read on from where we stop. He goes on to the life of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the burial of Jesus, and the resurrection of Jesus. And the only reason that he's there in that synagogue preaching is to tell the precious story of Jesus Christ. But to me, it's interesting how he started this message. And he went into the synagogue filled with people that were sick and tired of rulers and leadership and high places. They were sick and tired of being oppressed and being led here and led there by all of these kings and leaders and presidents. And so here comes Paul. And he begins to tell the wonderful story of Jesus. But he begins when God called out Israel. Now remember, he's talking to a bunch of Jews in the synagogue. And he begins to tell them and remind them that they were a chosen people. And he begins to remind them that God chose us. And then he reminded them of the years in Egypt and reminded them that God had redeemed them and brought them out of Egyptian bondage and slavery. And that God delivered them out of their hands and brought them to a land that was filled with seven different nationalities that God delivered into the hands of the Israelites. He's reminding them how good God has been. He's reminding them all that God was doing for them. And he begins to tell them about the 450 years under the rule of the judges. Okay? So God brought them into this land flowing with milk and honey. And when he got there, he didn't set up a throne. He didn't set up a kingdom. He didn't set up all these things. He simply called men, called judges, to stand in a place between him and the people so that they could take the Word of God that was already written and to take that law and decipher and lead that country according to thus saith the Lord. There was no presidents, there was no leaders, there was no kings, there was no queens, there wasn't any royalty. The sovereignty in that country belonged to the Lord. When everybody looked to the leader, they didn't look to a president, they didn't look to a king, they didn't look to a governor, they looked to God. And God led His people through these judges. And the nation was well aware that it wasn't these judges that was leading them. It was God leading them through these judges. God was sovereign over Israel. Because this reveals God's desire to be sovereign over His people. Who's our Creator today? God. Who's His creation? We are. Why wouldn't He want sovereignty over us? Why wouldn't He want to be over us? He never desired for there to be men over us. He never desired for us to bow down to anybody else. God desires for us to bow down to Him today. And the entire time of Israel and all the trouble they went through, the reality of it was they didn't have to go through those things because they never had to have a king. They never had to have all of this leadership and all of this government because God wanted to be their Lord. And He wanted to be their king. And He wanted to be sovereign. He didn't want there to be senators. And He didn't want there to be congressmen. He wants the authority over us. He wants to be sovereign over us. But I want you to notice what the Bible says. And I want you to understand where Paul went. He said this in verse 21. Verse 20, there's the sovereignty of God. God is ruling over His people. Notice verse 21. And afterward they desired a king. Afterward, they desired a king. Why are there kings today? Because we have chosen to have a king. We as people have decided, the nation of Israel decided that God was not good enough. We want to be like every other country. We want to be like everybody else. We don't want to be separated. We don't want to be peculiar. We want to be like every other country and have a ruler. God allowed them to make that choice because He's a loving God. He's not a dictator. Amen? He's not a dictator. And He allowed them to make this free will choice to go against Him. And they basically said, God, we don't want you as our leader anymore. We want somebody else. And so here's the establishment of kingdom. Here's the establishment of kings and royalty and presidents. Here's the establishment of that. And the Bible says in the book of Daniel 2 and verse 21 that He, speaking of God, changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. May I tell you that God's in control of the election process. God is in control of leaders that lead us. I want you to know that the will of God is going to take place Tuesday, whether I like it or you like it, okay? Because God is going to raise up these people that He wants to serve over us. But the reality of it was, it never had to be that way. But mankind chose to serve man rather than God. Put a man over us. Boy, didn't they ever mess up. And look at the mess we're in today because we rather bow down to a man than bow down to the Creator of all the earth. We rather answer to a man. We rather go to the president's house than go to heaven with Jesus Christ. Isn't it sad in a day that we rather be around the dignity and all the royalty of man than to be among the riches and the glory of Jesus Christ? God said, I want to be your ruler. I want to be your king. So you know what He did? He said, okay, you made this choice. I'm going to give you a king. Notice what the Bible says here. Notice our first point. If you're with me, say amen. He gave him King Saul, a ruler of wickedness. Notice what the Bible said in verse 21. And afterward they desired a king. And God gave unto them. Notice that. God gave unto them. It wasn't necessarily the one they wanted. But God said, okay, you want one. I'm God. I raise up leaders and kings. So I'm going to give you the king that you want. I'm going to give you the king that you desired. And you know what kind of king they got? They got a king of wickedness. They got a man that was filled with wickedness. Hold your place there and look in 1 Samuel chapter 8. 1 Samuel chapter 8. Oh, stay with me. Oh, I want you to get some of these things. 1 Samuel chapter 8. I want you to know Israel got the king that they deserve. Israel got the king that they wanted. 1 Samuel chapter 8 and verse 11. He said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. This is when Israel saying, we want a king, God. We want a king. He said, this is the manner of king. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots, and he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties, and will set them to ear his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his instruments of war and instruments of his chariots. And he will take their daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. He will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your seed and your vineyards and give to his officers and to his servants. He will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants, and ye shall cry out in the day because of your king, which ye shall have chosen you, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Now listen, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, nay, but we will have a king over us. They were fine with allowing a wicked man to rule over them. They were fine. This was God's people, a chosen nation, a peculiar people. And they were fine allowing wickedness to rule over their country. God said, you want a king? Here you go. And I want you to know there are times in nations and there are times in spaces that every now and then we find some wicked rulers. If you look among the nation of Israel, there was more wicked rulers than there were good rulers. And the people of God was okay with this. And the people of God allowed these wicked rulers into these high places, and they allowed their leadership to influence their walk with God. And isn't it amazing that every time that a wicked ruler got in place, the nation followed. And the nation followed suit. And the nation followed suit because God's people got overwhelmed by the wickedness in the leadership. And God's people just followed right along. Let me tell you something. God's people should never follow wickedness. God's people should never follow after people that are wicked. God's people should never follow after a nation or a leader that is wicked. When you go to the polls, if you've already gone, shame on you. If you voted for people that are wicked of heart, shame on us for us ever backing people that are wicked hearted, that does not believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God. I want you to know there's something wrong with us as God's people to get behind wicked leaders and wicked rulers and allow them to lead us and get behind them and, oh, they're not that bad. Oh, they're not that bad. Oh, they're not that bad. Let's open our eyes. Okay? Are y'all awake? I don't give a flip if you're a Democrat or a Republican. Wicked is wicked. Okay? And when you go to the polls, we need to pray that God would open our hearts to see the wickedness of man. Because there are nations after nations that every now and then we have these rulers that come along that are absolutely simply wicked. Wicked. Well, I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. Who cares? Be a Christian. Be a Christian. And what God needs us to be is a Christian. And what God needs us to be is to look and see what wickedness is and stand against it. And if somebody opposes the Word of God, if somebody opposes the morals of God, be willing to vote against them. Be willing. And it's a shame if Christians are voting wicked people into high places. It's our job as God's people to stand against wickedness. It's our job. Now y'all hear me. Y'all listen. I'm not getting into the parties. But I'll tell you this. When a leader stands up and supports the killing of 60 million babies, that's wicked. When a leader stands up and says it's okay, because the Bible says you love everybody, so let's destroy what God wants of marriage, that's wicked. And God's people ain't got no business getting behind wickedness. Wicked's wicked. Cathead, we need to get back to the old-fashioned way of calling it for how we see it. Wicked is wicked. Wicked is wicked. Wicked is wicked. God's people have no business getting behind wickedness. And every time that a wicked king would come along, they'd follow suit. They'd follow suit. And if the people would have just stood against it, but they were scared. Notice Acts chapter 13. Boy, this place got quiet this morning. I love that. Man, I like it. Notice this. In verse 21, after they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. So they got a ruler of wickedness. Now notice the next king, the very next verse. And when he had removed him, I love that. Boy, that speaks to the sovereignty of God. When he had removed him, God's in control. Listen now, God's in control. When he had removed him, don't worry, child of God, God's still on his throne. I know it's scary, I know it's a mess, but remember who's the Lord of Lords today. Remember who's sovereign over all. And it's the Lord. He, well, I like that. Well, there's some I wish he'd remove. And he raised them up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all of my will. So here they had this wicked man, and then here comes along a man that was sold out to the will of God. Here comes a little old David, little old boy in the house that Jesse Samuel went down. Whoa, look at all the big boys. Look at all your big sons. Oh, surely that's one of them. And there's a little old puny boy outside. He said, I got one more son. Samuel said, that's him. That's him. He anointed this man to be the king God wanted them to have. And he became king over Israel. But you know what? David was a man. David made a lot of mistakes. David was a murderer. David was an adulterer. David had a horrible family life. You won't talk about having bad kids. David had some bad kids. Man, he went through some struggles. He went through some battles. He went through some fights that was absolutely unbelievable. And he messed up. But you know what? He was a man after God's own heart. You know what that means? He was a man that was willing to seek the face of God. He was a man willing to admit when he was wrong. He was a man willing to repent of the sins that he had committed. He was willing to submit the nation and the country that he had leadership over into the hands of an almighty God. I'll never forget the day that I heard Bush Jr. say in his speech one time that I went and I prayed and I sought the face of God. I'll never forget that. Oh, if we had more leaders that was after the heart of God rather than pride, rather than fortune, rather than power. But a man like Josiah that just said, I don't care what we've been doing. We're going to do it according to thus saith the Lord. And this is what David did. And he got there, man, it was a mess. There was confusion and fighting on every side, and he went to war. He went to fighting the good fight. He made a lot of mistakes, but you know what? He kept trusting God. And he said, God, here's this country. You know what it says about the end of his tenure? There was more peace in Israel than there's ever been before under the leadership of the man that followed the will of God. His son took it. Had more riches than anybody in the world. Had more popularity, had more wisdom, had everything. You know why? Because David was willing to follow the will of God. We've had people raised up that were wicked. We've had people raised up that followed the will of God. They come and they go, don't they? They come and they go. Good leaders, bad leaders. You know what we are doing now as a nation? We're exalting these bad ones. We're exalting the wicked ones. And if a man stood up and said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And if a man stood up and said, we're going to destroy the things of God, this nation would probably kill him for the day was over with. That's where we are as a nation. Oh, we need a David. Oh, we need a David. I pray God would raise up a David. I pray God raise up a David. But remember how this story started. I wanted to be king, and you wouldn't let me. So I'll give you Saul. Then I give you David. Boy, I'm glad the story keeps going. Verse 23, of this man's seed hath God, according to His promise, raised unto Israel Savior, Jesus. Three verses, three men, three kings. King Saul, ruler of wickedness. King David, ruler of God's will. King Jesus, the ruler of righteousness. I raised unto you a man that's wicked. I raised unto you a man that's going to follow me. But I raised unto you a king of righteousness. How did we get here? Mankind wanted a king. They took their eyes off God. God wasn't satisfied. God said, you know what? I'm going to become their king anyway. And He robed Himself with humanity. And He became poor so that we might be rich through Him. If y'all hear anything, get this today. And God said, I'm going to take upon Myself flesh and I'm going to go dwell among man. Go to Isaiah 9. Man, this gets good. Oh, this gets good. Isaiah 9. It's all right to shout this morning. Go ahead and get started, Miss V. It's all right. Saul let us down. David let us down. He messed up. But hey, he followed God's will, but he still messed up. Man, these rulers, these kings, they're letting us down. God said, I'll fix that. In verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And unto the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom to order it, to establish it with judgment, and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. May I introduce to you this morning King Jesus. Man put his eyes on man. God said, that's not good enough. So I'm going to redeem humanity. And I'm going to win back. And I'm going to take back and conquer back the sovereignty that I want over creation. That I wanted from the Garden of Eden. King Saul couldn't do that. King David couldn't do that. But King Jesus could. And let me tell you something, Democrats and Republicans. Our Democrat and Republican's not going to get us out of this mess. But our King Jesus is going to get us out of this mess. And let me tell you about a ruler that rules in righteousness. That don't want your money. That don't want your popularity. That don't want your power. They're not interested in all of that. I want you to know that Jesus is interested in our soul today. He is interested in our well-being. He cares for you today. He cares for you more than any king has ever cared for you. And while we keep seeking man, oh, I wish this man would get up there. Oh, I wish this man would get up there. Child of God, we need to start exalting Jesus. And this nation's got to quit electing men, and they got to put their faith in Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. Trump not going to get us out of this. Hillary's not going to get us out of this. Jesus alone can get us out of this. If God's people, which are called by His name, shall humble themselves, child of God, we need to humble ourselves today. And we need to understand there's one answer and one answer alone, and His name is Jesus. I'm so sick of looking at Facebook and seeing Hillary and Trump and Hillary and Trump. Friend, we need to exalt Jesus. Let's get Jesus exalted. Let's quit looking unto man for them to be our leader. And let's let God lead us today. Hey, if you're here this morning, you can call Him Savior. Praise God. But can you call Him Lord? Can you call Him King of your life? There's coming a day. China ain't got enough resources. Russia won't have enough resources to stop the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords from returning and reclaiming what is His. He's not coming to take something not His. He's coming to reclaim
what was His from the get-go. Who's your leader? Mine's Jesus. Shame on me for ever exalting man. God always wanted number one. He said, I'll let you have Saul, I'll let you have David. But I'm also going to give you Jesus. I'm glad He gave me Jesus. And there's coming a day that all the world's going to come together and they're going to form this big battle. And Jesus is going to come out with His army. I'm going to be with that army. I'm going to be there, but He's not going to need me. I'm going to be there to watch Him. I'm going to be there to witness with Him. And He's going to speak. Whew. Millions upon billions of people just... Whew. The wine press. Whew. And all of this that we thought was so important, Jesus is going to come reclaim what's His from the get-go. This world's His. I'm His. You're His. But does He have you this morning? Does He have your guidance? Are you following Him today? Are you abiding with Him today? Are you being obedient to Him today? What does our rulers want us to do? They want us to obey them, right? The Lord wants us to obey Him today. God's people, listen. This political mess, we've got to stop. I don't care what party you're registered. You're a Christian. If you're a child of God, say amen.
Amen.
You're that first. Above everything else. Above everything else. And we've allowed influences to get in the way. God's saying, would you just exalt me? Just let me be number one. Let Him have the preeminence this morning. And when God's people get to the place that it's no longer about a man, but we're going to let it be about Jesus, is when this thing's going to turn around. May I tell you, there's still hope for America. There's still hope. My kids are young. I look around here, I see all these young kids. Isn't it depressing, parents, young parents? There's still hope. But it's got to be in Jesus. It's got to be in Jesus. What do you say today? You going to let Him be Lord of your life? He created you. He brought you out of Egypt, didn't He? He brought you to a land flowing with milk and honey. And most of all, He gave us Jesus. Would you accept Him today? Everybody stand, very quiet, very reverent. As she plays this morning, these altars are open. If you want to fall on your face on behalf of this country as a child of God, I want to encourage you to do that today. Right now, these altars are open. If you're here and you've never been saved, would you come right now? Let me show you how to be saved. If you need to join this church, if you need to make a public decision, let's do that right now. Would you put your trust in the King of Kings this morning? Would you put your trust in the Lord of Lords? Quit putting it in man and put it in Jesus. He's going to see us through. Oh, that God's people would call out to Him and ask for reviving in the midst of our bondage. Remember, He's still Lord. He's the one that's putting these people in place. God's people, we can't stop because He's not. Would you trust Him today? If you need to join the church, come. If you need to be safe, come while she plays.